This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. One of the great things about political speeches, Secretary Clinton's today specifically, but all of them really, because they have to give these speeches hundreds and hundreds of times, is that there is a certain amount of one-size-fits-all to them. An infrastructure passage here, a tax policy paragraph there, and today from Mrs. Clinton, this bit on jobs.
And for too long, big promises about the power of training and retraining haven't delivered like they should. It doesn't help anybody to be trained for a job that doesn't exist.
Job retraining has been big here for a while now, but it applies in the rest of the global economy as well. India, for our purposes today. Samant Subramanian traveled along the coast of that country looking at the history and the economy of the fish industry for his book. It's called Following Fish. We got him on the phone from New Delhi. Samant, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kai.
You start this book, this voyage, I suppose, on the East Coast, up in the corner by Bangladesh in Kolkata and in Bengal. You work down to the sort of tip, the bottom of India. You work your way back up the other side, the West Coast, and you wind up almost at the end in Goa,
mm-hmm.
On the West Coast of India. And there's a great quote about the economy in Goa and how it relates to how they get by there. And you say, Goa is an economy of idleness, not an economy made up of idle people, but an economy that relies on the human desire to idle. It's a commentary on tourism and what happens in an economy, yeah?
That's true. I mean, it's very much part of sort of the spirit of Goa itself. I mean, idleness is the linchpin of the tourist economy, as you rightly point out. But as a corollary, it is also a state made up of people who are happy to let life slip past, even as they live, you know, decade after decade in Goa on the beach or next to the beach. And it's very palpable. I mean, you know, the notion of time itself is so fluid. Punctuality, for example, is not a pressing concern.
and this is a place, we should say, where traditional fishing, the industry there, has been replaced by tourism, by these people coming to be idle.
The traditional fishing community was, you know, it sort of found itself out of a job just because of the advent of large mechanized trawlers that took their place, essentially. I mean, these trawlers fish all the year round. They take in such large catches that for what might in Brooklyn be called the artisanal fishermen, there's really not much to do. These fishermen find themselves out of work, and the only other industry in Goa to which they can turn is the tourism industry. So they sell their fishing boats, they buy a fleet of motorcycles or a shack on the beach, and they set up shop. And from the comfort of our homes, we can bemoan the loss of traditional fishing, but it's very difficult to put ourselves in their shoes and kind of think about what we would do when it really is a question of economic survival.
There is also, and you know, I confess to be coming at this from an outsider's perspective, there is also an element of the caste system that is reflected in the fish economy, if that's not too much of an oversimplification.
I mean, that's true. India, you know, outlawed the caste system in 1947 when it became independent. But it's very difficult to sort of remove every vestige of it entirely. And people often are engaged in the sort of professions that their caste prescribes them to be engaged in. And part of my motivation for writing this book was to actually explore those communities and their histories and their particular cultures a little bit.
Yeah. Before I let you go, you spent, I don't even know how much time on the road, eating your way, I imagine, around India. What was the best thing you had to eat? What was the best dish?
Yeah, I write about this in the book, actually. I go to a town called Mangalore and seek sort of the perfect Mangalore fish curry, which is really a curry that is known well across the length and breadth of India, but I really wanted to taste it in a classic Mangalore home. And I do get to do that. I mean, the chapter ends with sort of a cook taking me into her kitchen under her wing and making this curry for me right in front of my eyes. I fall a little bit in love with the cook. It's all very complicated, but but the dish comes out exquisite.
It's a book called Following Fish by Samant Subramanian. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Kai.
That recipe he mentioned, we've got it for you, marketplace.org. Give it a whack. Let us know what you think.